Yeah. Hosanna, Hosanna.
I will rejoice in you when we cry. I will extol your love more than mine. Draw me after you and let us run together. I will rejoice in you when we cry. All the way to me, you are the ground. Thou is the gladness in my heart.
That we are touching here, because there is difference between knowledge and understanding, Lord. So we pray for the knowledge, but we pray for understanding. We pray for our ability to apply whatever is in the Word, to apply it in a way that we would fulfill your plan that you have for us. Lord, we pray for
our ability to flow. We pray for your anointing to come. We pray for your Spirit to come and flow in our midst. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was quite excited seeing you for quite a few hours, sitting and digging into things, and perhaps some of you finding more questions than answers in some areas. But I heard some of your answers and thoughts, and I think you are very much on the right path. Kind of gathered here, so I understand there's no need to bring you forward. You'll be closer. But I think you do need a mic, don't you? Do we have a mic that we can pass?
It's fine. Just that I can do something.
So when they speak, you'll hear them?
So yeah. He wants the portable mic.
For them. Lord willing, it would be good to, you know, close this today and see what tomorrow brings, move on. But we need to come back to this because there were some questions there, right? Okay. So, what was the question? Can you remind me? Something we still wanted to resolve. And the mic is on its way. Yeah, guys, you wanna join them here somehow, or there's still place. Somebody, what was the question? We had two, three questions from the first part that you had as a homework to be resolved.
Okay, the first question was, are we lower than the angels?
Okay, so are we lower, higher with the angels? We struggle with it in the morning, so the answer...
With a two-part answer.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, so it was, our reference was in Romans 8.
Okay.
Verse 16.
Romans 8:16. Oops.
It says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ."
Very good.
So the thought was that if we are walking as a child of God, mm-hmm. we are joint heirs with God, and therefore higher than the angels.
Okay.
However, if we are not walking with God, we are lower than them.
Well, I take the first part. I'm way too low. Way too loud, I'm afraid. Am I not? A little bit. Okay. Well, if you say that because we are co-heirs with God, we are higher than the angels, that makes sense. But we are higher by nature, aren't we, then? In other words, if we are created, Elohim, if we are created co-heirs with God, not walking with us, with God, doesn't make us lower, does it? In other words, if I'm not walking with God, for example, I'm not becoming an animal, am I? Somebody saying something there with the mic?
No, not so far.
Okay, so what is the answer then?
Well, we were looking at it as tied into the thought of ye are gods.
Okay.
Who is it speaking to? Is it speaking to humanity?
Okay.
Or is it speaking to a specific group of people?
Okay.
And we were looking at different verses. One of them that comes to mind is, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Very good.
And So the thought was, if you are not being led of the Spirit of God, you are not a son of God.
So what are you?
Son of man.
Son of man. Okay. What about children or child?
Mm-hmm.
Of God.
Okay.
Because the Greek word, if you're led by the Spirit, you're sons of God. Mm-hmm. There's this word, hios, which is meaning the adult son. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be talking about this in a minute when we get to this third part. What is holding us back? Because there's difference. There's difference between children of God and sons of God about the maturity of it.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you don't, if you are not led by the Spirit all the time, we are not mature sons. But does it make us not children of God? Or does it make us not heirs with Christ?
Well, I guess we were looking at it from before the blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
You know, an unredeemed person as okay. being, you know, lower than an angel.
Okay.
Not someone who has been born again.
Okay.
If you are born again, you have the blood of Jesus Christ. That is something that angels do not have.
They don't. That's very true. Angels do not have the blood of Christ because they actually have no way to receive it because they are missing something. Okay. Well, it's confusing, isn't it? It's a little uneasy. So shall we help you a little bit and resolve it? Did you?
Martin,
yes?
A couple verses in Hebrews, does that help?
Hebrews 1, absolutely yes.
Somebody just read verse 4 and 5 up there.
Hebrews 1.
Yep.
The Hebrews 1 is, the whole chapter is giving you the full answer. 4 or 5, you can start with.
Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by...
Do we have the mic ready? Does it work?
It's on mute, just if it's muted. Yeah.
Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Yes, if you go and go through the whole chapter, it's not long. So for homework tonight, before you go to bed, read Hebrews 1. It clearly explains the difference between the angels and humanity, if you want, or Christ in the beginning. But it clearly speaks about Christ, and then it moves on to us. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1. And it says that he was so much more excellent or above the angels by what? Help me. By the... No. Just read it. We just read it. By the name... He has inherited. So what is the name? What do we understand the name?
Nature.
So he has inherited the nature. All right. So he was made so much more excellent than the angels because he has inherited from Father the nature, which is nature of God. We'll be working with this idea further on. And he said, did he ever tell the angels, sit on my right side or inherit my kingdom? No. The next scriptures, they say that the angels are the spirits that were sent as a servants or ministers to those who are to inherit the kingdom, the salvation. Amen. So humanity, regardless of whether you walk with God or you don't walk with God, is above the angels. If you study Hebrews 1, there's clear explanation of that. Why then, it said even about Christ, that he was put a bit lower than the angels. I mean, Christ, for Christ's sake, is not lower than angels, is he? So even about him it says that he was put lower than the angels. Why? Why?
me, but I believe it's because he took on flesh.
Yes. And he took on a flesh, why?
So that he can kill.
Aha. He had to have a mortal body because he had to overcome death. And this is making him lower than the angels, because angels cannot die. Okay, they are immortal. They don't die. But Christ wouldn't be able to overcome death, so he had to step down from the position of eternity in the same way how we did step out of it, because we were not supposed to die, right? In a garden, if Adam and Eve didn't do what they did, there was no death. He said, in the day you eat, you shall die. So if they didn't eat, there would be no more death. There would be no death. And man was not supposed to. Man was created, and the purpose of God is he was created eternal. By definition, because God is eternal. But because he allowed death to enter, man became, in a way, lower than the angels. But still, the creation and the ability is still higher than the angels. Say again? Okay. And the same thing is with Christ. Christ was with God, but because of us and for us, he took the mortal body that we could be crucified. All right, but it doesn't make us lower than the angels by inheritance or by nature. The nature is still the nature of God. Why are we talking about this? Is not the theology that you say, all right, we do believe this, you know, go home and be happy. Why do you think it's so important to understand that we are higher than the angels? That your status or who you are is at the same level as God's sons and family and brothers and so on.
Devil is a fallen angel.
Because the devil is a fallen angel.
Yeah.
So you have to understand, because one of the false doctrines that is there, and it's in our midst, in our minds, we don't realize it, is that the devil is a match for God. You know, they say there's fight between good and evil. No, there is not. God is above it all, and when it's time to finish devil, he just sends an angel to bind him. You know what I mean? God is not fighting angel. God is not fighting devil. And you perhaps say, oh, right, amen, I believe that. But if you look at this way, we are not match for the devil, or the devil is not match for us either. You know what I'm saying? The angels, they were sent as ministering angels, as ministering spirits to us who are supposed to inherit the salvation. So we have respect to God's angels who obey God, archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and what do you have? Amen. But they're actually sent with a message or to fight on our behalf, because we are the sons of God, the children of God, to become the sons of God as humanity. The devil, however, rebelled, and he didn't like that position. He wanted to be above. You remember Hillel? And he went down. But it's like if there's a king and you are children of king, regardless of your age, you might be little children of king, bigger children, and there's this servant in the kingdom who turned against the king. However, he's still a servant, fallen servant. And if you know who the devil really is, and if you know your power and who you are, you treat him this way. You know what I'm saying? You treat the devil in a way that he is no match to you. You know, we are not supposed to be fighting the devil in a sense of wrestling with the devil. Jesus was never wrestling with the devil. He rebuked him. And in the same way, the scripture clearly says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee away from you. So the devil, the only thing he has is lie. He would have to lie to you, and he would have to lie to you about your position and about his position, because he has to explain you wrongly that you are actually just humans, sinful, able to sin, able to fall, in a sense of, you are down there, and he is the big guy who is ruling the world, who has all the powers. Don't you know this is what the devil is trying to say? You know how the devil is lying, and he is the big guy, and you are supposed to be afraid of him, and all that rubbish? He's bringing guilt to you and all these things. But if you understand scripturally who you are and who he is, you're supposed not to even talk to him and rebuke him as a fallen spirit. Lucy, you had a question or something to say?
I'm going to say, what about the scripture that says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness in high places? How do you explain it in the terms of we are not supposed to wrestle?
Okay, so we are supposed to fight the devil in a sense of resist him. We are supposed to rebuke him. We are even supposed to take him down from heaven, because he is there where he is not supposed to be. But what I'm saying is, it is not match in a sense of let's see who wins. If we decide and resist the devil, he has to flee. In other words, you don't enter the encounter with the devil with, you know, let's bet who wins. But if you do use your position in the Word of God and you rebuke the devil, he has to leave. It means he has no authority and no power over you. Only the power you give him. In other words, devil is in your hands. You decide, you know, about the devil in your own life. You decide, devil, you leave, and he has to obey, because he's submitted to you by the nature, by the difference of the nature that you have and he has.
The scripture that says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God.
Yes.
And the pulling down of strongholds, and it talks about imaginations.
Amen.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so our fight is not natural, and it's powerful. We have the power to pull it down.
Amen. One more verse to substantiate where you were just a little bit ago about Jesus.
Go ahead.
Philippians 2. Verse 5 through 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name.
Do you understand this? It's a clear scripture, isn't it? Very clear scripture. He didn't find it strange to, you know, be equal with God in a sense of, again, the kind, the species, the, you know, who he is. Of course, Father is always Father, and Jesus was looking up to him. But in the sense of being son, it wasn't a robbery to be saying, I am Son of God. However, for the reason of obedience and proving it and overcoming death, he took the human body. Amen? So, here, the first conclusion, and I still have another question that you need to answer, the other one. But the conclusion is, we need to know that there is God, Elohim. And he created angels, animals, all nature. And all this is of its own kind. And it produces according to its kind. But then he created man in his likeness and in his image. And we are the only ones where we can inherit fullness of nature. And we can actually inherit the name, which is making the difference, the nature that is making the difference and making us so much more noble in a good sense than the angels, and of course than any type of nature. So that will give you understanding why the devil is actually angry. And it gives you understanding about the weapons of the devil. The devil is actually able to get you only if you believe his lies. He has no power over you unless the power, or except of the power that you give him. Amen. And this is yes, you will be the dust, and you shall. Sorry, the man is the dust, and the snake from Genesis will be eating the dust. So you are the one deciding whether you feed the devil or you don't feed the devil. He cannot. He will try to tell you otherwise, of course, but he cannot do anything unless you allow him to. Paul.
So in essence, you're saying we wrestle against the lies of the devil.
We wrestle against the devil, and if we don't believe the lies, we have all the power to resist him, to reject him. And by one word, when Jesus rebuked him, he had to leave. When he didn't submit to him, he had to leave. Amen? You don't have a question? No. Okay. Okay. So, this is the important thing. It really, actually, in my life, it really helped me when I sorted this out. Because the devil, what the devil was doing to me, he tripped me. Okay, he tripped me to fall into sin. And the next moment, he's there to bring condemnation. And he's trying to reason with me and, you know, give me all this rubbish. And then God revealed this position of his and mine, and I realized he's a fallen angel. He was supposed to be there to serve humanity, you know, to come to fullness of Christ and so on. And he's fallen from this position, and I started to talk to him, stop talking to him. When he would come with guilt and things like this, you know, I would rebuke him and say, devil, I'm not even interested in your rubbish. You are, what's the word, damned for hell? Cursed. Yeah. Forever for hell. You know, you have no business with me. I'm not solving with you my guilt or any of these things. I can go to God who is the only one. Go away from me. Yeah, treat the devil the way, you know, he deserves. By the position of who you are and who he is. Don't believe that you are to fight the devil in sense of equal fight. It's not equal fight. He's lower. You just rebuke him, resist him, and he has to flee. Amen?
Amen.
So that's an important message in understanding who we are. But there was one more thing that you are supposed to find out. Why is there in the scripture said that he called them gods? Those that received the word of God. He called them Elohim. Yes? You have to speak up. And ideally have a mic too.
Was it, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Is that right?
Right, but where is the answer? Yes, yes, go ahead.
Well, since we believe that Jesus is the Word, and
yes,
the Word becomes part of us, and
yes,
incorporating us, together in us.
Right.
Does that not answer the question?
Yes, 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 it goes very well to this direction. Ruby wants to add something.
So when the Word comes into our soul, which is like a womb, so the seed of Christ is planted in our souls, and we bring forth more Christ.
Right. I think you are there. The basic idea, and somebody mentioned it before in the morning, the basic idea is, and God made in the nature all the explanations. And in nature, you know that even the different type of a cat cannot, what is the word, procreate? Bring forth. With another type of cat, or of course dog with cat, or it's impossible. Okay, it's by nature it's impossible. And why is it? Because the seed and the womb is not compatible. Amen? Because it's not the same kind. Every kind will bring forth after its own kind. Amen? And this is exactly the idea. Because in natural, we are humans and we are people and we can bring forth people. Only people, obviously. But because we are Elohim nature, we actually can bring forth Elohim. Mm-hmm. And because Elohim is spirit, this is not happening in the natural. This is happening in a spirit. So there is a spiritual womb, if you want. What is it?
The soul.
And there is spiritual seed, which is?
Word.
The Word of God. And he says, he called them Elohim to those that have received the Word. It means he couldn't call anybody else Elohim because nobody else has the ability, is equipped to receive the Word of God in its soul and bring forth God, the nature of God. That's why Jesus has the name, the nature of God, that he has inherited. He was able to receive it by the Word and he was able to multiply. That's why the first commandment really was. And we are here talking, let's go back to the topic of this conference, the purpose of life. And God in the beginning, when he created man, what did he say? Two things.
His image.
He created him as image and likeness, but he said, have dominion and multiply. So the idea is, he says, have dominion because be aware who you are. In other words, don't be under, be above. Rule the whole earth. Of course, starting with this earth. We are supposed to have dominion over our own earth, not be under. You know, and this is mentality that we have to change. We have to have mentality of God. It means I am not a subject of circumstances. You know what I mean? Because the mentality the devil is giving to people, even in the church and in the world, is actually you are a victim. You are a victim of circumstances, politics, parents, situations, health, and there's nothing you can do about it, so poor me. God is saying, have dominion. I have given you all the power and all the means to do something about it. Have dominion and start with your own soul.
Amen.
There's nobody stopping you from receiving Christ and from obtaining fullness of sonship. Nobody, the Bible says, can take you from the hand of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's only your decision. And this is something where God gave it to us. And for me, this is fantastic key and message. I mean, nobody and nothing, no devil, no politics, no nobody, you know, no parents who are unbelievers or whatever, you know, friends or lack of friends, can stop me from becoming son of God, because this is what God wants and he gave it to me. I am the only one who can stop me. Amen?
Amen.
So have dominion is the mentality that God wants. This is biblical mentality, healthy mentality of children of God, to have dominion, to dominate your own soul and tell the devil, you have no business here and I'm not talking to you. You are a fallen angel. Don't play with the games with me. Don't give me all the lies, who you are and who I am, because it's rubbish. I have the scriptures, the Bible clearly says, and you leave. My plan and my calling and my desire, my calling in God is so much higher than to be Christian, than to do things here and beg, you know, God for mercy in a sense of, God, please, you know, can you do something? Yes, we do pray, but God says that we have, how is it, we can boldly access the throne? Why? Because God for me is not an alien, a being that is so much, he is so much higher in the sense of his thinking is so much higher. But he is not alien. He is not somebody, you know, you have to go via chain of command and
protocol
and via some people. You have direct access to God because He is your Abba. I would even go beyond Father. I would go Dad. You know, sometimes when I pray, I personally don't pray Daddy, you know, when I pray to God. But sometimes I pray Dad. I'm walking and I say, hey, Dad, you know, what about this? Like, He is my Father. I have access to God because I am the same kind. You can come respectfully, of course. But you have boldness to come and approach God if you know who you are. How are you approaching your parents? Are you approaching your dad like an alien, like somebody you have to go through complex protocol and things? You're not, are you? Maybe president, if you would talk to Mr. Trump, you know, you perhaps have to do all this and do it right and be glad he's not a king or queen because it's even more complex, you know. But Bible clearly says, you know, He gave you the power and say, you can call Abba Father. Yes. Amen? He's your dad. So you can go to bed, you can go to your room, you can go for a walk, and can say, Dad. And this is how I started when I was born, and God gave me this understanding from the scriptures. I was walking in the streets and being alone and went in the bed, and I said, Dad, I'm glad I have a dad. Actually, I didn't have my natural dad, you know. And finally, I had a dad I could talk to. I said, talk to me. You're my dad. I would like to know who you are and how you are, and I'd like to walk with you. I don't want to spend my life messing with the devil. That's not our, you know, that's not our main focus. The devil is just to be rebuked and cast away. But I am Elohim. In other words, I am the same kind. I am Son of God. And I have the soul that nobody else has. And by the way, don't get me wrong now. If you look at all the other people around you, they are your brethren. They are the same kind. Some of them are not even born again. And by their choice, they can end up in a hell. But they are your family. They are your kind. So when you pray for people, when you pray for humanity, if you want, when you pray for your neighbors, you look at them and they say, he's just my fallen brother. He's my confused brother, you know, fooling around. But he's my kind. And that's why God desires, isn't it so in John? When he says he desires to save every man. Because that's why he created us. He wants to save every man because every man is Elohim by nature. He wants to speak, and the only way how to save the soul is to speak the word. And this is actually, you are supposed to become word. That's the principle. I said to their children that have children. You know what I mean? We are supposed to be children that have children. Do you know that you are children of Jesus? As well as brothers. Because in God, it works a little different, doesn't it? Yeah? Actually, it's in Hebrews 1, isn't it? When he says, he calls them brothers. But also, and we don't have time to go there, do you know this famous 42nd generation? Raise hand if you don't know what I'm talking about. So half of you don't know. So some of you don't know. Very quickly, another homework, I hope you're writing it down. Go to Matthew and do the counting. There are 42 generations. The last generation is Christ. Amen? It's Christ. If you do the math right, you might be confused and realize, hey, Jesus is 41st generation. Yes, it is. Yes, He is. Because Jesus is 41st generation, but 42nd is Christ. Because we are actually Christ. Because we are part of Christ. We are the body of Christ. He is the head, and we are slowly getting to the next step. So Jesus is the head of Christ, but you are also Christ. If you want to provoke, you know, I sometimes do, forgive me. you know, sometimes when I am in discussion with some theological people, I provoke them, and, you know, when they say, I say, well, actually, I'm Christ. You know, and then you correct it and explain, what do you mean? I'm not the Christ. I'm actually part of Christ. Christ is not a second name of Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Okay? So, you have to understand, there is other scripture clearly in the Old as well as the New Testament that Jesus had offsprings. He had children, which is us. But it doesn't stop there. He wants you to have children, spiritual children. You actually can receive the word into your soul. You can allow the word to grow to an extent that you bring forth, what is it, 100 times? 100-fold? And then you use the same principle. You take your word and you speak it, not to animals because they can do nothing about it. They don't have the womb to receive it. Okay, but you speak to people. And the only way how you can influence people, how you can bring salvation is by word. Whether written or spoken or recorded. So that's why our main business and one of the key part of the purpose of life is the multiplication idea. So you multiply by receiving the word in your soul. Step number two is to allowing it to grow and bring forth the fruit in you. And step number three is you feed others with a word. That's why, you know, like Brother Gordon is very faithful in this, in his way. Yes. You know, this is the multiplication business. Take the word and bring it. Give it to others because he says, have dominion. In other words, overcome, if you want a different word for that. Have dominion, overcome, and then multiply. It means take the word, the pure word of God, give it to other souls that have capacity to receive it and become what you are. Because they were created like this. All the neighbors, all the people here, you know, they can behave, they can be Muslims, they can be atheists, they can be politicians, you know, they can be whatever they want to be. But they have the same capacity to receive the word and become sons of God.
Be fruitful.
Be fruitful. And multiply. Yes?
I have a comment and then a question. I just wanted to add this scripture in 1 Peter that says, being born again, not of corruptible seed,
yes,
but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God, the word of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Yes, that's exactly what we are talking about.
Yes. Then the question is,
sorry,
you said that the unbelievers are brethren because they are of the same kind. I don't know if I got you right.
Not really. If I said that, I need to correct it.
Uh-huh. Because I was remembering Jesus saying to them, ye are of your father, the devil. So I just wanted to correct that.
Let's correct that. What I mean is, I am not saying that all the unbelievers are brethren, okay, because they are not born again. I'm saying they are of the same kind. It means there's no point to go and preach to the cows here. To what do you call Longhorn? Okay. With all the respect we can have to Longhorns, you know, don't preach to them expecting the salvation. But you can preach to Texans. Because they are the same kind. They have soul that has ability to receive it. So they are, if I wouldn't say they are your family, they are your species. Okay. Now, how can people be the sons of the devil? No, explain it, because it is a question where he is an angel, right? So he doesn't have the seed that you could receive. He is not the same species, so he cannot be our father because he is not the same species with us. Do you know what I'm saying? So how come he is a father of us, or not of us, but of some, where he cannot have a seed that we could receive to our soul?
Well, what I was thinking is when Eve was talking with the devil, is receiving the word, just like Peter was saying that when you receive a word, the word of God, and that word has the ability to reproduce in you when you receive it.
Right.
The same way, if you receive the word of the devil, so that seed also, I may be wrong, but I believe that that seed, when you receive the word of the devil, it also grows within you.
I don't know. Right. What we do have a problem there, we need to explain. The devil does not have word because he does not have the seed. He does not have the ability. So what he does, he takes the word of God. Do you notice? If you go back to Genesis?
Yes.
Or when the devil was talking to Jesus when he was tempting him, he did use the word of God. Because word of God is the only thing that goes and comes to your soul and can reproduce. So he actually is playing genetics, the devil. He takes the word of God, the seed, and he twists. And then it becomes the twisted seed, which is actually the seed of the devil. That's why the devil actually is not bringing new ideas. He's not bringing anything. He is bringing the word of God to you, only twisted. Hasn't God said? When he approached Eve, he quoted God, but misquoted. Hasn't God said? You know, didn't God say that you cannot eat from all the trees? He's now changing the nature of God and the purpose of God. But he is using the word of God. He has nothing else. So the devil will actually come to you quoting scriptures. Like he did approach Jesus quoting scriptures. Isn't it written that he will send angels to protect you? He quoted scripture pretty correctly.
He always adds a question mark.
And he puts the question mark there. So how do you call it? Is it GMO?
Genetically modified word.
GMW? Genetically modified word. So that's why actually, and this is exactly why devil is after you. Do you know why devil is after you? Because he doesn't have a soul and he doesn't have a seed. And he wants to multiply because his ambition was not to be an angel, he wanted to be Elohim. He wanted to sit at a Zion like Christ. But it was not given to angels. It was not appropriate for him. But he rebelled against what God had. Amen? So now the devil is not interested in sheep. Devil is not, well, sheep, spiritually speaking, yes. But devil is not interested in animals and flowers. He wants to kill and destroy. But he needs the soul because that's the only soil and place where he can actually create his own seed by taking the seed of God, modifying it. So that's why he wants to say and enter in you and by his doctrine. That's why he created so many doctrines. That's why he created so many music. You know, he is offering you any music you want. You prefer beat? There's a beat. You prefer melody? There's a melody. You prefer romantic? There's a romantic. You prefer, you know, something hard? It's there. Do you like to have some good words? He can put good words for you. Christian words? He can put even Christian words. It doesn't bother devil to put scriptures into his music. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not that the parents or elders are telling you, you know, don't go to this movie, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. There's a purpose behind it. Because there is a calling. You have extremely precious soul.
Hallelujah.
that was given to you to reproduce God. Amen? And the devil is after it because he wants to reproduce himself. So each time we, and I say we, it's not you and we, no, not guilty. You know, we struggle the same thing. We need to overcome. We need to have dominion. But every time you take worldly things or sinful things, movie, joke, or talking or whatever, and you open yourself to this twisted word, you are becoming it. It's good news because it was created by God. He wants us to become God like God. He wants us to inherit the full name, the full nature. Amen? So it's good principle, but the devil is misusing it. And that's, we look at our soul and we see the both, don't we? In some areas we become more like God, and in some areas we become more like devil. And then you find out, what is growing here? And you realize, oh my, that's the movie I have watched. I sit with my children, you know. Sometimes the way they talk, sometimes, you know, the gesture, sometimes this, and I say, oh, you know, what is it? And you realize they watched movie and they quote it, and you know what I mean? So do you understand this principle? Amen? So that's why I believe if the topic is what is the purpose of life, you have to understand you are the kind of Elohim with a precious soul that has the ability to reproduce God. And you have devil being after you, are coming after you because he's after your soul. He doesn't care for your body. He doesn't care for your life. He would like to kill you. He hates you because he was not given the position that you were given. He envies you. Amen? That's why he wants to, you know, use your soul. And it's your choice how much you allow him to do so. But be aware that you have the full power to tell him no. You have all the means. He is not a match for you. Amen? I don't know if you are not excited. When I learned this, you know, it gave me keys and understanding and excitement. Because I realized, hey, I'm not a victim. I can be on the top of the ball. Amen. And I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it. And we will see here. Ruby. Mike.
My question is, how do you... Okay, so those movies and those things, there's a part of us that enjoys them, right?
Mm-hmm.
We like them. Mm-hmm. So that's why we watch them in the first place.
Yes.
So how do we...
overcome that?
Yeah.
Well, we would like to answer that a lot. Perhaps in the next days that come. We would like to talk about these things a lot. But let me give you a short answer. Okay? First of all, how we overcome it, you have to realize what's going on. You know, if it's like a children, if you don't know exactly why the parents are telling you, you know, you have temptation to, you know, do this. If you realize who the movie is really doing in you, it's the first thing that helps you to overcome it. You have to understand what's going on in the spirit. Okay? And the second thing is, you treat it spiritually. You have to rebuke it. Okay? Because it is the devil who is trying to tempt you and to do things. So you have to rebuke him. One of my daughters told me recently, you know, Daddy, when I'm rebuking things, it works, you know, it's like a revelation for me. It works so much better. It gives me power. And I rebuked it in a spirit, and it's much better than if I try to think about it, overcome it. So treat it spiritually. And a third thing is, if you, the more and more you are with Christ, the more you become like him, and it changes your desire for things. In my life, so many things got changed my desires. I'm not interested anymore, and in some things I'm still struggling and overcoming like you, you know, that I have a desire to do this. Once I ask God and say, God, I mean, let's say movie. I mean this movie, or not movie, but this situation, relationship, or whatever you have. It's in so many ways so nice, isn't it? You know, I say, God, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with this? you know, to watch this and you feel romantic or you know what I'm talking about? Lifted up in a way, or you know, so you kind of struggle. If it's horror for me, I'm not interested at all. You know, I'm that's not my problem. I know somebody else's. Same for you, right? I don't like horrors. Very good. So that's easy to overcome. I don't need to overcome it really. But other things, I said, God, I mean, this is except of these few things, it's nice, right? And God told me it's unclean. I said, okay, unclean. What do you mean? He says, it's like you take something good. You know, 99% of the movie maybe is godly. Godly principles, things, you know. It's not Christian necessarily, but it's nice. I mean, romance and all these beautiful things, God created them. But the devil is doing the GMO business. He takes the good stuff to deceive you and injects other things in it. And then you become more like this movie. And when you are ready, and a little more like devil, he can inject more and more and more. And then before you know, you're actually, you know, desensitized. And you're willing to do worse and worse stuff. And becoming more and more like devil. Hopefully, you realize that you are like the son eating with the pigs. And you come to yourself and say, what am I doing? Did it ever happen to you? You're doing something. You know, you're in the middle of sin. You're in the middle of doing things. And then you kind of watch yourself, filthy. And you say, what am I doing here? Am I the only one?
No?
Oh, good. You know. And this is the thing where you are in the midst of this. And I always remind myself, like, I'm there, you know, eating with pigs. And I say, I am son of God. This doesn't change. I don't mean son of God like mature son. Let's say child of God, okay? I am a child of God. That didn't change. He was still the son of the Father, correct?
Yes.
When he came to him, the Father didn't say, excuse me, who are you? He came and said, my son. So I am there in the midst of a sin, you know, and I'm saying, what am I doing? What am I watching? What are you doing? You know what I mean? And when you come to yourself, then you rebuke the devil and say, devil, you're a liar. And you're a loser.
Amen.
And you can go to God. Like Isaiah, you go, I love this first chapter. You know, you can come and he says, let's reason. If your sin is, how is it? Like a scarlet. It'll be white like a snow. So anytime, any minute, you can always come back to Father. You always have free access to say, God, forgive me. And you still can come to him like a child. You know, the devil is trying to tell me otherwise because I'm in the middle of a problem, middle of a movie or whatever. And right there, I can tell the devil, devil, I am the child. You are nobody. You are a loser and you end up in hell forever. I will inherit the kingdom of God. I go to my Father to repent. Right there. You know what I mean? So the deception is that it's actually good cake, good stuff. It just fell down on the floor in the dirt. And your mommy, perhaps not you anymore, you're big enough to know. But if you're little, your mommy says, no, honey, you can't have it now. It's unclean. It's dirty. But mommy, it's the ice cream. It's the cake. It's yummy. Well, yes, but now it's dirty. Because even though most of it is okay, but some of it is dangerous. Amen? So, we understand, I hope, who we are. Was it helpful for you? As much as for me. Was it helpful for the adults too?
Yes.
I was excited when I heard this, when I understood it. But let's move on here, because that's going to give us another key and excitement. Jesus, are we the same kind? We've settled that, right? We know we are the same kind with Jesus. But are we the same? Tell me. We didn't present it yet. Tell us. Would it be too asking for much? Somebody get me a warm tea, not coffee. Whatever without coffee, just warm water in the worst case. Thank you. So, anybody wants to comment on that? Are we? Is Jesus anything bigger, or is there any difference at all? Yes.
Okay, well, he's a high priest, our Lord and Master, and he's not ashamed to call us brethren.
You've done all the studies. Don't be afraid. What do you believe? You have to be able to defend your faith. Is Jesus equal? Or is he higher?
Well, he is God and man at the same time.
He's God and a man at the same time. What about you? So in that way, we are equal. He is Elohim and man. Uh-huh. So that's the same. There is no difference there.
He's also the firstborn of the brethren.
Definitely. He's the firstborn of the brethren. So Jesus is the firstborn. Amen. And therefore, he is and always will be the head. Isn't it clearly stated in the Bible that he is the head while we are the body? So we are all members of one body, but he is the head. So we are not equal to Jesus and never will be, because he, being the firstborn, being there with the Father before Abraham is, I mean before Abraham was, Jesus is, he is there as our head and our master. Amen? Alright, so we are not putting equal sign? Okay. So we are not putting the equal sign between Jesus and us because he is the head.
One other reason?
Yes?
I bow down at his feet. I do not bow down to man.
Yes. So we bow down, we worship Jesus. We bow down at his feet.
Yes, I worship him.
We worship him. Amen. We don't worship people. Even when they went before us, wasn't it in Revelation when John bowed down before the brother and the brother lifted him up and said, No, I'm one of your brothers. Don't worship me. Amen. So, if Jesus is God, if Jesus is before us, if Jesus is the head, does it mean that what applies for him doesn't apply for us? Like, well, he's 12 years old, obeying the parents. I mean, yes, but it's Jesus. Or, yeah, he overcame the devil, but come on, that's Jesus. I'm just human. Well, he did miracles. He walked on the water. He was healing, yeah, but that was Jesus. Does it apply? Is it true? Somebody's saying no. You need a mic to comment on it. Where's the mic, man? We need you here. Christina wanted to say something.
I didn't. I just said no. I don't think that just because he was Jesus, it's an excuse for us not to be the same as he was.
Well, you need to give me a scripture, somebody. What does the Bible say? Yes, Ruby?
Matthew
I'm not sure if this is the right scripture, but Romans 8:11 says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you."
It's very good scripture, isn't it?
Very good.
Very good. To give you a little hint or tip, yes, without a tip.
Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And Father is the head of Jesus.
Very good. So Jesus says, "Be perfect," so it means it's possible, isn't it? He would never ask you to do something that's impossible. So we can be perfect. Very good. Perfect in every way. All right. Another one. If I go back to Hebrews, it says that he was higher than the angels by the name he has inherited. By the nature he has inherited. There's a tip. A hint. An adult.
We're joint heirs.
We are joint heirs with Christ. And the scripture clearly says we have inherited everything. So we are joint heirs with Christ. It means if Jesus inherited the nature, the name, so do we. Amen? So Jesus inherited the name, which makes him so much higher. The name is the character. In other words, I can have the same name as Jesus and as Father because he inherited it from the Father. If Jesus was kind, I can be kind. If Jesus was loving, I can be loving. If Jesus was loving enough to lay down his life for brethren, I can have the same nature because I have inherited it. I am co-heir with Christ. So I have no... I don't want to put it that I have no excuse, even though it's true. But I actually can go to God and say, "God, I want to be like Jesus." It's no crime. Amen? It is no crime to say, "I want to be like Jesus." When I said it to my preacher years back, I said, "You know, I want to be like Jesus." He said, "Oh, you need to be humble. You know, this is wrong. You know, you're making yourself equal to God." Isn't that crazy? I want to be like Jesus, and they rebuke you. Because you can't be like Jesus. Jesus is the only one, and you are just human. No. Jesus wants you to pray, "I want to be like Jesus." Amen? So, thank you. Okay. So, moving on here, Jesus is firstborn of many, as you say, not ashamed to call us brethren, but he is the head. The Spirit, Romans 8:11, the Spirit of Christ living in us, we can become sons of God through the Spirit. Amen? And more scriptures, born again sinless. John 3:3, is it the part that says who is born again doesn't sin? I think. Romans 10 and 1 Peter 1. All right. So, the idea is that even though Jesus is head, we can... By the way, another homework if you want, not for tonight, but for longer, is find anything Jesus did. And he will ask you to do the same and even more in the Bible. For example, this one. Who is the light of the world?
We are?
Or Jesus?
Both.
He is not anymore. The scripture clearly says he was light while he was here. But now it says you are the light of the world. So it was said about Jesus that he is the light. Now it's put to you that you would be the light. This, yes?
Another example.
Yeah, please.
Uh, Just another practical example. Luke 9, 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases.
Amen. So, you are given authority to cast out devils and cure diseases. And he is giving us the taste of it. We could spend perhaps the rest of the conference and many people would give us testimonies. How in our very midst, cancer has been healed. Devils have been cast out. You know, and things happening. And he gave us the authority. In other words, didn't Jesus say that you will do the things that I do and even greater?
Yes.
Isn't that something? You know, it excites me, because if somebody says, what is the purpose of life? And you start talking about high school and university and the job you do, you know, it's like the prince, what is his name, William? You know, Prince William. What is his occupation? I think he's a pilot, isn't he? Yeah? I think he's a pilot and he's working in army and, you know, in rescue missions and things like this. And he serves his, you know, years. Now, recently he said, well, he quit the job and he will be more focusing on the royal duties now. Well, yes. And he went to school, you know. But the main thing is, he is to be the king. You know what I mean? He's royal. So, yes, he might go to school, he might be doing these things, but that's not what he is. This is not his calling, is it? This is not the purpose of his life. The purpose of his life is to be king of England. Eventually. Yeah. Well, I know the grandmother is kind of you know, having her say. But the basic idea is, we have to think the same. You know, he is from baby aware that even now he goes to school and he's learning this and he's buying shoes and doing sports and whatever he's doing. You know, his main calling is a different thing. Amen. And the same for us. We can talk and we'll talk about the purpose of life and other things, but if we know who we are, everything else is interpreted by our royal calling. Yeah? Everything else is interpreted who we are. We have access to the full power. And let me ask you one more question. Who are we talking about? The elders? No? Your parents? I mean, you? Individually? Every single one of you? Every single one of you should get the nature of Christ? The power of Christ? The instructions of Christ? In that case, all the other things, do you see how they are kind of incomparably low? You know, how we have the power and the ability to, I mean, even in the area of finances. You know, William is not worried about finances because he's to be the king. You know? And in the same way, when we want to become sons of God, we approach life, including finances, school and things, we approach it from the position who we are. And again, many people would give you testimonies how God called them to the things that the finances were not there. And when, you know, when he calls you to do things, you enter by faith and you start behaving. In other words, if you are Elohim, behave like Elohim. If you are children of God, behave like children of God. Amen? If not for you, I'm excited. Okay? And it gives me way how to live, how to approach my work, how to approach whatever I do. It's from perspective that is different. That is not just churchgoer. You know, when I was a Christian, I asked those questions and I couldn't understand. And they were trying to put me down. Well, come on, Martin, you're just a Christian, you're a churchgoer. What do you want? And I said, that's it? He said, well, yeah, yeah, witness to people and bring more people to church. And I said, right, but that's it? I mean, yeah. What is this? What is it all about? Well, Aren't you happy you're saved? Yes, I am happy, but, you know, what did God have in mind? Well, just bring people in the church and bring more. Well, you're laughing. It's you be glad you are in this fellowship. Isn't it so? Tell me, brethren. Isn't it? What did they tell you? What did they say in the church? You know, and I was there, young born again Christian, and I kind of struggled, and I gave hard time to the priest and the pastor and whoever I met in my life. And I kept asking, and then finally, you know, somebody brought me some tapes of Brother Dusil and others. I said, now it makes sense. Finally it makes sense. Now I understand the calling for sons. You know, what is it to be sons of God? I understand the message. Yes. Now the Bible, you know, resonates with what they are telling me. Before it was like the Bible is up there and they teach down there. Now finally, when they say, it's the sons of God message. I understand what sons of God message is. This is the sons of God message. That actually, we are the same kind and we can become sons of God with everything. The only thing is, and I'm coming here. In other words, you say, well, Martin, come on. It sounds all great and nice, but when we look at you, why don't you walk it? Well, yes, I'm sorry. So why don't I walk it? Why don't we walk it? Why don't you walk it? Why don't we live it in fullness? Because Jesus did. What is holding us back? You just speak up. They need to hear you. Flesh? Okay, how can flesh hold you back when you have authority over flesh? It does hold you back. I know it holds me back. But explain me, how is it possible?
Because you're corruptible.
I'm corruptible, yes. My problem is, I'm too much Klusen, I'm too much Czech. I was born with the old and corrupted soul. Amen. And when I was born again, that gave me blood, a drop of blood to my soul, and that gave me hope. However, help me.
It's not the end of the story.
It's not the end of the story, isn't it? So, when I was born again, was I child of God? Absolutely, yes. Was I son of God? No. Amen. So, if we are born again, do we have the status to be king?
Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. So we have the status. We are the royal, right? We are the royal priesthood. Peculiar people. All this applies. But how come we have no access to the power and to the nature and all the good stuff? How come we are children of God and we don't have this access?
Don't believe it.
Don't believe it? Well, it's part of it. We have to learn to believe it. It's very important. It's true. Because if we don't believe it, you don't get it. Henry Ford, he had no idea about all this. But these people, sometimes they say things and they don't know what they are saying. But he says, whether you believe it's possible or whether you believe it's not possible, you're right. You know, in other words, he had a glimpse of understanding in the sense of, if you don't believe it, you'd never get it. So you have to have your gospel right. You have to have this right. That's what we are doing. So believing it is first step. If you don't believe it, you can't have it. Okay? Because the word in Hebrews, if it's not mixed with faith, is nothing. It doesn't help. But there's more to it. I am child of God. How come I have no access to these things?
It says to whichever spiritual son you self-surrender to, you are.
Okay, so if I submit to the devil, I'm a servant of the devil.
And then it's also, it says in Romans 8, when we...
In Romans 8, I'm just repeating, or you can use your mic.
Let me get the scripture up so I link it.
Okay, so find your scripture. There's another scripture, by the way, you have written it down. It's there. It's somewhere. I've seen it somewhere. No? Or you just told me?
Okay.
So it's not here. Oh, it is here.
For if you live...
For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live.
Okay.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
That's the process. Very good. That's the process that we have to mortify the flesh and allow the Spirit to rule over our soul and then the soul over our body. By the way, if you take this principle, do you want to be healthy?
Yes.
Where is the health? Where does the health originate? In your soul, which is submitted to your spirit. If our soul is fully submitted to the spirit, then the body is fully submitted to the soul, and the health is there. If you look at the scriptures, when it speaks about health of the body, it always originates in the soul and in the spirit. But I don't want to go there. I want to go to Galatians. In Galatians, what does it say? Is it chapter 4 or 5? Is it 4? So chapter 4. Can you read beginning of Galatians 4? Or maybe I can actually even. I'll do it in English. Or maybe you do. You have it? You read much better than I do.
How much?
Let's just the first two verses will do.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world.
That's enough.
Sorry.
Don't worry about it. So that gives us a clear understanding. Okay, clear understanding where it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child. So, you are born again, at that moment you are an heir. Is it correct? So you are an heir, you are a child of God, you're royal, all these things apply to you. And you actually have access to your Father, you have access to the nature of God, you have access to the power. But, because you are a child of God, just born again, you differ nothing from a servant, though you are Lord of all. So you are the Lord of all, your promises and calling and salvation is there. That's why the Bible can confuse you, because it can speak about your salvation that you were saved. You can truthfully, based on the Bible, speak about yourself that you were saved. Once you received Christ, you're saved. It's a done deal. Another scripture will be speaking about you will be saved. Like the salvation will come to fullness, and yet another scripture is speaking about being saved. Like a process. What is it? In the beginning, you got your ticket. You know, when I have my ticket, when we have the tickets to the U.S., we send the brethren a note and say, well, we are coming to Texas by faith. I've got the tickets. So, and you can say legally and say, I am coming to Texas, right? But of course, before I'm in Texas, I'm still coming by faith. Amen? But legally, I have the ticket. So you are the Lord of all. The only thing is, you are a child that has to go through the process of growing and maturing into the sonship. And that's why. Because when you get into sonship, this is what we call the sonship message, or how do we call this really? The sons of God message, the sonship message. Okay? Do you understand why? Because there in this word is hidden all what we said so far. You have all these things. And the only thing you need to do, which is actually the key for your purpose of life, is to grow from child to son. Once, do you know what happens when you are sons of God? Yes, you are led by the Holy Spirit, as you read. Those who are led by the Holy Spirit, it means you are not led by anything else. Now we are, aren't we? Both. Okay, then we will be led only by the Spirit. You will be the sons of God. the mature sons of God. What is it going to do? Do you think it's just the normal thing that will happen, or do you think it's like a revolution? And now answer only in the scripture. Beloved, now are we the sons of God?
But it does not yet appear what we shall be.
By the way, the sons of God is technon, is the children of God. So beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. But when it shall appear, or when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, because see Him as He is. That has this hope, the word, if you don't believe it, forget it. So every man that has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. So again, that's the process. Okay? I'm looking for a scripture to answer me whether becoming sons of God is just a small thing, or whether it's something that is a major, major thing.
The whole earth groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Hallelujah. In other words, the whole earth is waiting for you and me and us to move from the state of children to the state of sons. Isn't that the sonship message? Brethren, did I get it right? Is it the sonship message which says that we are Elohim? He desires it more than anybody. He desires to be a father of yours. He desires to be the one that multiplies by you, that you become like Him. Don't take it as a sin to ask God, God, I want to be like you. In every aspect, in the power. Practice it. Walk with it. Learn it. And then, when we become sons of God, this is going to resolve all the problems around us. Jesus was first born. Look at this. 3.5 years. The world was upside down. He brought salvation, overcome the devil, overcome death. He was resurrected, healed people, was an example. Imagine when the rest, that's why He said He will do even greater things, because it'll be the rest of the body.
Amen.
And this is what we believe. This is why we gather here. This is why we discuss music and this and dress and that, and we struggle and strive, and you know, we try to overcome, because we have this hope. Those who have this hope in Him purify Himself. Amen. And we struggle and fall down and rise up because we believe that we actually are within the reach of adulthood, of sonship. Amen. And everything else we interpret, I mean our jobs and things we do, we interpret in this context. Hallelujah. Be perfect. Delivered. Yes, we need to be delivered from all the things that are still in our soul. That's why we go through these things. And God is delivering His people. The flesh is holding us back. That's why we mortify the flesh. The deeds of the flesh. When we do, we walk by the Spirit. And again, we are spiritual people. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We must become incorruptible. And the good news is, by the way, God doesn't expect you to do the job in a sense of becoming perfect. He expects you to spend time with Him. If you have the fruit, if you stick, you know what I mean? What is it, Luke 15? When you are He's the vine, we are the branch. John 15, sorry. He's the vine, we are the branches. What is our job? To stay in Christ. Amen. And what is happening then? The Father is the husbandman, right? He comes and purifies. So He will be the one. If you stick with Jesus, if you walk with Him and stick with Him, He actually took the job upon Himself to purify, that you bring more fruit and then a fruit that lasts forever. Amen? So, this is the step number one of things we wanted to talk to you about. Lord willing, and He was willing so far. And give you the first step of understanding was the purpose of life. Amen? If you have more questions, I'm understanding somebody told me that you're collecting questions. If you have more questions, write them down. We will come back to all of them. Okay? Do we want to add anybody anything before we close? So why don't you then close?
Well, it's a blessing what the Lord's doing here. You know, really, the vision that Barrick and Martin had as far as having this type of teaching and seminar where we're actually digging into the Word. I think I was really seeing the fruit of that today.
Yes.
Because it you know it's God when the meeting's over and people are not wanting to leave. They're wanting to still study. And we're there all afternoon into the Word. And so as we are doing all this, I want to encourage us all to really be praying and talking to God, you know, about our life, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And this word came to me tonight, and it's, I'm just going to share it. Some of you probably, maybe a number of you heard me share this dream before, but I had this dream about 20 years ago. I was still working at the post office, and the night I had the dream, I was at the post office and walking with two other mail carriers, and all of a sudden I realized, even though I was working at the post office, I wasn't enrolled in this great university, yet I sort of had forgot that I was enrolled in this university, and now it was the what do you call that final exams. Boy, I was pretty nervous in the dream because I hadn't been paying attention to this university that here I was going to. You know, other things had distracted me. So I thought, boy, what am I going to do? And so anyway, I get into the one classroom, and it was world history. And I go, that's my favorite subject, you know? I thought, well, I could skate through it. So all of a sudden, the teacher handed out the exams, and there on the paper was a map. And as I looked at the map, everything went blank. And I realized that even what I thought I knew, I didn't know. And I came out of the dream, and I heard a voice speak, I mean, as loud and as clear as could be. It's in Timothy, and I heard the word study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, you know, as we are diligent with God and seeking God and hearing the word and chewing upon the word, we're being good students of the Word. Amen. We won't have to be ashamed because we'll know God. Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, maybe we could close in prayer. Yes. Amen. Yes. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the sons of God that you have called us to. You said to those that believed on your name, Lord, to them gave ye power to become the sons of God. Father, we want to grow up into maturity. We want to know you. We want to know the doctrine of the kingdom of God. So we ask that you continue to lead us and guide us into all truth. Give wisdom to those that are ministering the word. Bring your anointing into these gatherings. And help us to understand you more. We want to open up our hearts to you, God. We open up our hearts to
to let the King of Glory come in. Let the Word of God be planted into our hearts and into our minds. So, Father, we give you thanks today for this opportunity that we are all having before us. God, may we receive everything you want to give us, and even more than what we can even ask or think of. God, bless us, your people, today. Watch over us, even as we leave this place tonight, God. Go before us. Speak to us, God. God, we just open our hearts to you. And Lord, we ask, as you are rehearsing this word, we also know, Lord, as your word comes to us, we feel, Lord, how much we need to much more serve you. Lord, that we don't fall prey to weaknesses and temptations. So, Lord, we ask that you just forgive our sins right now, Lord. Forgive our sins. Wash us afresh so that, Lord, that there's no hindrances in our thoughts or in our time of fellowship. God, just bless us tonight. Bless your people, we pray. And we just thank you for all that you are doing in your most precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we're coming back tomorrow morning at 10. Amen. Everyone have a good night's rest and be ready. Praise the Lord.